Hello and welcome to this newly formed Gambling Files podcast offshoot.
Splitter!
You can't speak. I haven't introduced you yet.
Oh.
This is different. This is all new.
The People's Front.
Hang on. It's a splinter group.
Splitter!
And so we're trying this new idea. And it's about people focused content because we're an industry of very nice people, mostly. I mean, obviously there's some tossers out there, but luckily most of them are me. We want to shout about the lovely people and the lovely things that they're doing and things. So with that in mind, I've formulated a show that we're provisionally calling Desert Island Discs. Now, the name is subject to change, I just need to remember to add that new question. my first guest on this new offshoot is, I can only describe him as a top gambling industry executive who is frequently to be found doing very busy executive things. He's a very important man, and we're delighted to welcome, as our guinea pig on this first experimental episode, Mr. Fintan Costello. Fintan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, John. And I'm delighted to be here as the first guest on the new splitter.
You say that like it's a bad thing, like you're a picket line.
You scab.
Yeah. Man, that's a little harsh.
It is. I'm only teasing. I think this is a cool idea that I was with me.
Okay. What do you think of the name Desert Island Discs?
I think it works on many levels, particularly as I'm somebody who frequently can't spell dessert or desert.
Mm. A lot of that about.
There's some absolute blind spots in my spelling, which drives my wife absolutely nuts.
Well, maybe we can help with that today.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like the name. I think it's fun. It's very on-brand.
So to international listeners, and we do have a few international listeners. We have quite a lot of international.
Everyone's international.
The name, the provisional name, is a pun on a long, long-running British radio show, Radio 4 show called Desert Island Discs, where the guest is stranded on a desert island and all that. So all we've done really is take the name. Everything else is different.
Lawyers.
Exactly.
This is original work.
So, Fintan.
Yes, John.
You're stranded on a lush tropical island. It's not desert.
That's a good point.
It's key fucking difference right there. Mm. There is fresh water. There is rudimentary shelter. There are animals and fruits for you to gorge upon.
Okay. That's good to know.
But you are stranded. You have no means of communication with the outside world.
Okay.
You're allowed to pick some things that will wash up on the shore for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've sort of grouped these because you get three of various things, right? So we're going to start off with albums. You got three albums. You got three books, three movies, one song, which doesn't have to be off the albums. It's probably better if it isn't. One pet, one object, one dessert, which is where the name comes from, and one piece of advice for your younger self. Jesus. And you get to choose when you give it to yourself.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting.
So, let's kick off with the easy shit. And you can opt out of any of these because, of course, not everybody's had a pet. Not everybody reads for pleasure. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people don't watch movies. The freaks. If there's something like, you know, you might be like, oh, you know, one, if it was like one loved person, you might be like, I only love myself. I'm an executive.
and you'll have my shareholders.
Exactly.
Who I maximize value for.
Can I have them all?
It's all I worry about. Okay,
there's
so we're going to start.
I want to start with three albums.
All right. So I obviously, you know, we heavily script these episodes.
Yeah, heavily. Did I tell you the questions before we started?
You did.
Oh, thank fuck for that.
I've really struggled because I'm so literal with stuff like this, right? Because my brain goes into like solution mode of, okay, you're stuck on an island, Fintan. What do you really, like, you know, the Boy Scout training kicks in, right? Like, just fucking, like. So in my brain, my problem with all of this is, in my brain, I'm like, I've got two tracks. I'm like, okay, what John actually wants is like, tell me an album that means something to you from your childhood or whatever. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, right, I'm stuck on an island for like the rest of my life. What do I need?
I'm going to need a box set so that I can brain a wild goat with it.
Yeah. Or like, you know, it needs to be like, I'm trying to look for practical answers and shit like that. So
Don't. This is entirely impractical.
Yeah, but.
Because I haven't told you you've got electricity, but you've got to pick three movies. You know what I'm saying?
I think.
You haven't got a fridge. You're picking a dessert.
I know, but it's like, my brain doesn't work like that.
You're saying you lack imagination.
Not that I lack imagination.
Just why you're a good CEO, because you can't imagine empathy.
It's autism or whatever the fuck it is, right? I'm just like, no, but I'm taking this really literally. Okay, we start with albums. So I like a lot of music. Like, I don't really have, like, I'm really into a particular genre or particular this, particular that. Like, I was looking through my Spotify, like, you know, you can just, like songs and stuff like that. And it's just random. I think if I had to pick an album or three albums, I would probably, I'm a big fan of like early rap. So like late 70s, early 80s, to even to like late 80s rap. So things like the Sugar Hill Gang, you know, obviously like Rapper's Delight was like the big kind of breakthrough type songs.
So, I'd have actually assumed you're a little young for that.
I am. Yeah. So, but it was, you know, I think, so I'd probably look at that era for music for at least one or two of the albums. So could be, you know, NWA or even Rage Against the Machine or something like that. That's kind of where my head would be at.
God, you know that first Rage Against the Machine album was the last album that I really remember people copying and handing around like it was bootlegs.
It was all like when I was a kid at the time, it was all bootlegs and copies of copies, and you know, you could barely hear it on the wall.
It inspired a lot of my professional attitude.
You haven't stopped raging, John.
Fuck you! I won't do what you tell me.
He sets the place on fire. And I think I think that'd be kind of the music I'd be aiming towards. And then I think I just like, okay, let's see what else kind of was meaningful. As a kid, I listened to Queen a lot. I really liked Queen as well.
Was this a parents thing? Because my dad liked Queen a lot as well. So I listened to Queen a lot. And now I've realized I don't particularly like Queen.
Yeah.
A couple of great songs, but.
Yeah. It was definitely like my dad's album or something, or a cassette or whatever he had. But I had Queen's Greatest Hits, like the original one. And I listened to that a lot. And I probably know every word to every song on that album. I can't sing, like it's all out of tune, but I know every word to every song in that album. So I'd probably pick that as well, just for a bit of nostalgia.
You say you picked that as well, but have you picked two other albums? I'm not sure.
Oh,
there's a lot of meandering.
Sorry,
in there.
Something from the Sugar Hill Gang and something from probably Rage Against the Machine.
Something from, I mean?
I've got to name albums. Jesus Christ, John. Like,
well, that is the thing. You got to name three albums. I might have to introduce a thing where there's no compilations.
For fuck's sake.
But I'll let you get away with it. All
right.
This time.
Well, this is the pilot episode.
Exactly,
right?
The guinea pig episode.
Yeah, and every guest will be better than this as well, so it'll be easier.
You know, I'm the guinea pig, unfortunately, and you're Richard fucking Gere. I know, it was a gerbil. Is that hamster? Hamster. Sorry. Yeah. Allegedly. Didn't happen. Anyway. Okay, so you're not going to name the albums, so I'll just scribble that one out.
Minus 5 points. You're dying on this island.
No, doing very well. Three books, Fintan. Have you got three? You read.
I do read. Books is definitely easier for me. So I think... So my favorite author is a guy called James Clavell. So recently there was the Apple thing with Shogun. I really enjoy his book. They're big books. Like Shogun's a huge book.
Lots of words in them.
A lot of words. It's again, useful for like if I need a bit of, you know, something to get a fire started, see?
So. Yeah, something to punch a goat with.
Batter a gerbil with. Or a desert rat or island rat or something. So I would pick something from James Clavell. I really enjoyed Shogun. I thought Shogun was a phenomenal book. He had another one called Taipan, which was about the founding of Hong Kong. Basically opium pirates. So it's kind of that it's fiction, but a lot of it's grounded in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Scottish opium pirates who were doing the opium into China, buying the tea with bullion, silver bullion, and then exporting the tea to the UK. It was that kind of trade between China and the UK for basically growing the opium in India to China to buy the tea to bring to the UK. So it was these guys who got the tea out of China into India and this kind of stuff and set up Hong Kong. And that's why Hong Kong was like pirate island for a very long time.
Are you going to say the bit about how Britain was actually given Hong Kong? Stop me if I'm wrong, but if I remember right, the Chinese ruler looked around, saw everybody was addicted to opium, thought something's not right here. The next time these guys come around with their bits and bobs and their opium to swap, they sank the boats. British government says, even if they're bad, you can't do that. Sends the Navy down, bombs the shit out of the coast of China. And the Chinese government apologizes, gives them Hong Kong and £1 million. Yep. Back when £1 million was an inconceivably massive amount of money.
Yeah. And what's crazy is the trading houses. So basically the pirates all were traders, so they all had trading houses. Like those trading houses still exist.
They're just banks now.
Well, HSBC.
Shit, I was joking.
Right. But or Cathay Pacific. So Swire's was one of the families. Not in the book, but it's, you know, loosely based on all that kind of stuff. So Swire's, for example, there's another family that's still there, family business there, but they own like, you know, big chunk of HSBC. They own Cathay Pacific.
Do you think in HSBC, I don't know what the C would stand for, and I'm not going to speculate just in case, but the HSB might stand for High Seas Bastards.
It's the Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation.
I'm sticking with my version.
That's what it stands for. So I really like that because it's one of those like, it's just good storytelling and it's swashbuckling and it's pirates and it's intrigue and all that kind of stuff. But I really enjoyed that. And then he's got a follow-on book, which is basically Hong Kong, but like same kind of families and all that kind of stuff, but practically modern day. I think it was like the 80s or something, set in the 80s. So I really enjoyed, can't remember what it was called now, but yeah, that kind of series I really enjoyed. So I had a lot of fun with that one. So I picked some books from James Clavell. And then my other favorite author is Terry Pratchett. I love a bit of Terry Pratchett. He's a fabulous writer, hilarious. And his Discworld universe he created was just brilliant. I don't know if you've read it or not, but have you read Terry Pratchett?
Yeah, I've read probably half of it, something like that.
Yeah. So Terry Pratchett, it's a fantasy, like comic fantasy, the best way to describe it. And it's the idea that the world is a disc traveling on the back of a tortoise traveling through space. And it's kind of a fantasy world, and he's incredibly funny. But it's telling stories through, you know, it's the classic, like holding a mirror up to ourselves through his storytelling. But he's got a ton of books, but there's two kind of recurring characters. So there's one is Vimes, who is the...
It's the man from the watch.
The Night Watch. So he's basically, he's a police officer. And kind of there's a series of books that kind of charts Vimes' rise through society, despite him not wanting that. And he just wants to catch bad guys and do stuff. And that's brilliant. And then the flip to it is Granny Weatherwax. So there's The Witches, which is just, you know, hilarious. And having grown up among a lot of strong women, just absolutely hilarious and completely realistic. So there's the Granny Weatherwax series.
Well, wasn't there another offshoot as well? Didn't Death have their own?
Yeah,
because Mort was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it.
Mort was great, one of the earlier ones. And then, like, towards the end, like, he'd pick a topic. Like, he'd pick, say, you know, what happens if Discworld gets a postal service? Or what happens if the telegraph, system of telegraph system gets installed, and these kind of things. So just some brilliant stories, and it's a lot of, he had a very serious illness. He was a huge campaigner for assisted suicide. He wanted to pick, it's a degenerative disease. I can't remember what it was, but degenerative disease. And he was a massive campaigner in the UK for assisted suicide, and really kind of made it kind of news and got people talking about it and stuff like that. So he rushed kind of like some of his last books. I think he just had a lot of stuff in his back catalogue that he just kind of pushed out and stuff. So, but it, just a brilliant, funny, and like the layers and the jokes and the technique, like the amount of jokes that I've probably missed just because I don't understand that topic well enough. It was like you can read it multiple times and walk away and go, oh, fuck it, that was very funny. And then he's famous for his footnotes. So the footnotes are as funny as the book, where they're like little asterisks or something like that. And then, I mean, like at the back of the book, there's like a half page where he just explains something. And so it's such a, from a world building perspective, what he created was phenomenal. But then a lot of writers get bogged down in it, where he was able to maintain like a good cohesive, but also pacey. And never lost sight of the story, which is a fine, fine balancing act.
There's an American writer, and he used the same illustrator as Pratchett.
Oh, okay.
And it's a similar-ish style, and they actually did a series which was almost identical. And it's really odd, but apparently there's zero plagiarism. There's never been any issues between the two of them. The guy's called Craig Shaw Gardner. And he's also very, very good.
I haven't read him. I have got into, because I've read a lot of, particularly as a teenager, I read a lot of fantasy. So like George, like I was reading Game of Thrones, like when it came out, kind of thing.
Well, I was reading him before he wrote Game of Thrones, and I'd given up on him long before that.
Well, I'm still waiting for him to finish the series, and it's been decades now.
Well, he wrote a brilliant vampire novel.
Did he?
Really did. Really excellent vampire novel, set amongst when the Mississippi riverboats were the king, right? And it's about a vampire who doesn't particularly want to be a vampire, so he develops an artificial blood so vampires can live and never kill a human being. but all the other vampires turns out really like killing human beings. But it's all on the riverboats, and it's beautifully realized. I mean, he is a very fine writer.
He elevated, like, before Martin, there was Robert Jordan was the big dog, and he had like this epic fantasy series, like it was huge, super complicated, big books, but he also developed a disease and died early, so he died before he completed it. So there was a guy called Brandon Sanderson, who's It was before he'd actually taken off. So he took over the series and finished it. But I've literally just started reading Brandon's stuff now. And he's like, I'm like half a book in and he's just sucked me in. So I'm going to have to read everything he's written. So, because I'm a bit tired. Because normally I read nonfiction and I think I just need a break and just need a bit of just silly fantasy. So yes, I would pick a couple of books from James Clavell, probably Taipan. Or one of his other, actually I'd pick Taipan and I would pick King Rat. So King Rat was based on a Japanese managed prisoner of war camp during World War II.
Wow.
And it was really about the how everything in these kind of environments, how everything changes. So the social order got upended. And, you know, there's the King Rat is like the guy who runs, like the soldier that runs the prison. But true, like, you know, black market selling food and all that, like they were breeding rats and all this kind of stuff. And it had a really interesting ending where like the camp gets liberated and then the social order gets flipped back again. So this guy was like king for a while. And then he was just the regular private again at the end and stuff. So it's a really, really interesting story. And yeah, it's quite a, yeah, I like that one a lot. Think about it a lot.
Okay. So is that two from James Clavell and...
Yeah, I picked two from James
one
Clavell.
One from
and then,
Terry?
And then I'd pick like probably the Night Watch or something from Terry Pratchett.
Okay. Well done on naming the books.
I'm more of a reader than these guys. Sorry, man.
Well, now
we're
really
we get the movies.
Yeah, I was going to say we're fucked on the next one, aren't we?
I peaked.
I mean, it's going to be like Braveheart, Pretty Woman, and then you're going to be stuck for a third.
Transformers.
Toy Story. Three movies, Fenton. Would you have three movies?
Yeah, I like movies. But I was thinking, like, could it be movies or could it be, like, TV series? Because I'm more a TV series person than a movie person.
You could have a box set.
Because I think my challenge with TV or with movies is they become, I think with a TV series, you can there's such rich storytelling. You can tell an in-depth story where in a 90-minute movie, you can see them hitting the beat of, you know, introduced character.
That's why movies are a difficult arc. I mean, you've only got to compare the movie Friday Night Lights to the series Friday Night Lights.
It's you know, and I haven't read it yet, but there's a book called Introducing the Cat. No, Killing the Cat. Anyway, there's a formula for movie writing, and I think I struggle with movies these days because it's just really not boring, but just kind of patronizing. It's just this isn't a great story, and they're hitting a beat, and they're ticking the boxes, and it's fucking Tom Cruise again, and you know what I mean. So I'm really struggling with I watched Gladiator 2, and it's just Gladiator 1 remade, all right, and it's like,
which you could argue was just Spartacus remade.
And you're like, you could have done so much more with this, but you're just flogging this kind of, I think because movies have become so like, is this a franchise? Is there a sequel? Hmm. And if there isn't, they really struggle to, it just doesn't get made, right? So there's probably lots of great movies not getting made because, you know, all they want is X-Men franchises or Mission Impossible franchises or James Bond franchises or whatever it's going to be. So I think TV's got a bit more to it. there's a definite, I like gangster movies, believe it or not. I think the first one I would pick, and it's a modern movie, and it's most people don't like it because it went on too long, is I would pick The Irishman. And it's partly there's a book, it's based on a book called I Hear You Paint Houses, which is the biography, basically the biography of the Irish guy in the story. And I think part of it is, A, it's a good, I enjoyed the story. That was a good story. And I do think there's credence to the fact that the mob killed Hoffa and killed JFK. I'm completely convinced on that. And they probably did it with the assistance of the CIA.
The CIA, though?
Yeah, because the...
But they don't operate on American soil.
Yeah, but the CIA were using the mob for the Bay of Pigs and Castro and stuff. So there was a whole kind of thing going on there.
And they can't operate on American soil.
Basically. And, well, it's what they do, like get other people to do it for you, right?
Delegation. It's the key to good management.
It's my big focus lately. I've been working with Leo on it. So I really enjoyed The Irishman as a story of just like, you know, you've got this organization, they're doing all their shit, they bring in this guy to solve problems. And like, obviously everything's about me. So when I look at my career, it's the parallel. Okay, I haven't killed anybody and buried bodies and any of that kind of shit. But
yeah,
the paperwork equivalent of that, the mouse clicking equivalent of that, of just get in, solve the problem and get the job done, is resonates.
Are you Mr. Wolf?
No, I'm not. I've probably got a bit more empathy than Mr. Wolf.
I was going to say, did you just get a cinema reference without me explaining it?
I know Reservoir Dogs. There's a handful of movies.
Dude, it's Pulp Fiction. It's not Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You were doing so well there.
So close. Oh, so close. I answered a question that wasn't asked. Name that movie. I was talking to my son about that the other day. About he was doing something with a teacher. He was going to tell me what he was going to say. And I'm like, no, you're answering questions that haven't been answered or asked. You know, focus to the, just like, give them what they need, not too much. And that's also how you deal with lawyers or the police. You know, keep it concise. I think I'd pick The Irishman. Because it's a nice long movie and it's a good movie. I think then I'm kind of torn. So if I had to pick more movies, I would definitely go, okay, let's more gangster movies. So I'd probably pick something like Casino. I really enjoyed that. And it's a fun movie. It's easy to watch. There's some great lines in it. And
you can have a box set.
I can have a, okay. So then I'd pick the Godfather trilogy just to tick that box.
Oh, when I say box set, I meant you could have like a TV series.
A TV series. So I think if I was to pick TV series, I'd look, there's a couple that are kind of my go-to of like, I want something to watch and it's been a while since I've seen it. The Wire, I really enjoyed. Have you seen The Wire?
For my sins, I haven't. It's one of those ones that I'm saving for a chronic illness.
Okay. So The Wire is great. Again, two authors who started with books. So they started with, they did two things. So the two guys, they started
Didn't Dennis Lehane write some of The Wire?
I can't remember. I'm not in the, I can't name the actors. I can't name the writers.
Lehane's a terrific novelist. If you've not read any of his, well worth reading.
So they started off with a book called The Shield, where they basically embedded themselves for like a year with the Baltimore Detective Department. So they just rode along, or the police department. So they rode along with the uniformed officers and the detectives. And they wrote just this amazing book about what it was like and what they saw and, you know, A, how difficult it was, and but the environment and what people are going through. It was a phenomenal story. And you read it and like, Jesus Christ, like, it's a great, you felt like you were there. It was a really, really good story. Then they flipped it and then they moved into the projects and lived in the projects for a year. And then they wrote that story, which is The Corner, it's called. And again, phenomenal storytelling, amazing writing. And then both of those combined became The Wire. So you're following the bad guys, you're following the cops, and they're, you know, it's the cat and mouse between the two. Brilliant acting, brilliant casting, brilliant, like so many like one-liners, like the game is the game. It's, you know, if you come for the king, you best not miss. And like just so many just great
lines. Had that dude in it that died, unfortunately, didn't it?
Yeah, so Michael, his character was Omar. And again, it was like Omar was a guy who robbed drug dealers. Omar was gay. He wasn't part of a gang. Like just the character of Omar was just phenomenal. And just like, A, acted amazingly well, but just really well written. And so every character is excellent. But then what they do with the series, which is I loved, was every series moves and takes a different part of the story. So you start off with like the detectives setting up the sting operation and doing that kind of stuff. And then you move and it follows different parts of the, like one guy's now out on the boats and there's the story's kind of evolved. And then one of the cops leaves and becomes a teacher. So a lot of the stories about him in the schools. And so it's just this really, every season is different and everybody's got their favorite season. So it's not just like the one story arc or the one one story just being recycled, which I thought was brave. But really well done. So that was great. Love that one. And then the other TV series I go back to a lot is The Sopranos. middle-aged guy, head of the family, came up the hard
way. So much to relate to.
So much to relate to. And again, phenomenal storytelling. So many great characters, and it's so, yeah, I just enjoy the silliness of it as well. Basically, like, it's the classic, like, it's just a dad just trying to make it. But in saying that, just to throw a wild card in, I have just finished the Yellowstone series, and I did really, really enjoy the Yellowstone series.
So everybody loves Yogi.
I could absolutely see me watching Yellowstone again at some point.
Maybe it'll change your diet as well and you'll start eating more Picanix. I've just looked him up. Michael K. Williams played Omar.
Yeah.
He was also in a favorite series of mine, which is Happen, Leonard, in which he plays a gay Vietnam veteran living in East Texas.
That's nice.
Wonderful. Absolutely. I was dreading watching it. It's an absolute favorite book series of mine. I thought they're going to have to sanitize this. Nope.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sanitize none of it. Absolutely fucking glorious. It's very, very good. But anyway, this is about you, not me. Stop trying to put the spotlight on me, Fenton. Okay, well, you got four there. You've got one song, which doesn't have to be on any of your albums, but like, you know, like my favorite song isn't on any of my favorite albums. So it's like, maybe you've got like a power song when you're working out. Maybe you've got a, do you know what I mean? It's like, nobody's going to pick a fucking Survivor album, but they might pick Eye of the Tiger.
Gotcha. I would pick Sir Mix-a-Lot, I Like Big Butts. That will absolutely lift my energy anytime. And I will sing along to it.
I was not expecting that.
See, I'm a maverick.
You certainly are. You're marching to the beat of Sir Mix-a-Lot's drum. Well,
yeah.
Fuck. Okay. Can you, I mean, it's not a song I'm particularly familiar with.
I'm not singing it.
No, but you could just give us a sample of the lyrics.
No, no, Google it. Spotify. It's easy.
I'm not sure I can use a clip in the show, though.
No, but I copyright take that.
You also have one dessert that you can choose. And without that, we have no show.
So I do like a dessert. I will always take a look at the dessert menu.
Okay.
Do you want to see the dessert menu? I'll always take a look. I think my day-to-day go-to one would be something like a creme brulee. But
I've got issues with creme brulee.
Yeah, it can be done. It's a bit of it's an easy option, right?
Fenton. It's creme brulee is not a victimless crime. No, when I was 2021, I was working in some kitchens. I was a kitchen porter, so I was washing up basically. And we had a wedding party that weekend. And the chef was like, I'm going to do a load of individual creme brulees. It was like 200 odd people. And he used fucking teacups that needed to be ready for the breakfast service for the creme brulees. And of course, it was just
chisel all the fucking,
it was all fucking 200 of these fucking things.
Jesus Christ.
I was not happy. I got no breaks that day. I basically worked through from breakfast till midnight. Yeah. So it's not a victimless crime, Fenton.
But I do have a weakness for any kind of like either apple based desserts or banana based desserts. So I love an apple crumble or something like that.
Yeah, it's a good dessert. That. Would you have it with custard or cream? Or?
I'm definitely more a custard guy than a cream guy, for sure. I didn't even like cream for a long time, but yeah, I'd murder a custard. Like, wouldn't even hesitate. Or banana based desserts. I like a banana in a dessert. I wouldn't say no to a banana split, something like that. As a kid, a Knickerbocker Glory was like my fucking happiest little kid in the world. But yeah, I think probably an apple, like a big, like lots of apple type crumble kind of thing would be.
Well, you've got to choose then. Are you going for an apple crumble?
I think I'm going to go for the apple crumble with the custard on the side.
Would you have a little bit of cinnamon in the mix?
Oh, you'd have to. You'd have to.
That'd be not just, everybody does.
I just would assume that was a given.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, it's a great choice. It's a classic. It's adored worldwide. Are you taking a pet with you?
Probably not. Okay. I did have pets. So I had cats as a kid, two cats. And I had a dog, a little Jack Russell. But I'm not really a big, I like animals. I'm not anti-animals or anything like that, but I'm not particularly fussed with animals.
Okay, no pet for Fenton. An object, but it has to be like, it's not, we're not talking a practical object.
Yeah, so like my brain's like, oh, I'll just bring a really good fucking knife, right? Because, you know, I'm going to need a knife.
A luxury object.
I presume I can't pick my laptop. That doesn't count.
No.
Yeah. Well, there'd be no internet anyway, right? So despite the electricity. I'm not really an objects.
Well, think of it another way. What is something that you find indispensable in your daily life? So, for example, you might want to take some Frizzy's shampoo.
A hairbrush with them. Yeah, it could be a toothbrush, actually. That'd be super practical. I love it. Let's forget practice. I'll probably bring a watch.
Some of that.
Something to admire on those long dark nights. Make sure it's got a glow in the dark bezel or something.
Yeah. Good lumen.
Okay, now we're at the big one.
Go on.
One piece of advice to give to your younger self, and you choose when you receive it.
So, you know, if we think of the time traveler's paradox, right? That, you know, if you change one thing in the past, you've completely changed. You know, the multiverse kicks in and it's a different path into the future. So I've got to...
I just want to clarify for you here. It's not real.
I know, but it is, though.
No, I mean, we're not really going to do this.
We're not going to do this? Okay.
Actually going to go back and give it to yourself.
Okay. Let me work through how my brain works, and then I'll give you the answer. I've struggled with this one because, you know, I lead a great life. I've an amazing family. I do what I want, and I'm in a really, really good place. Didn't happen overnight, and it wasn't easy. So I'd be worried to kind of, you know, I am the sum of my past kind of thing. And so everything I did, good or, you know, mistakes I made or whatever, all led to this point. So I'm not somebody who looks backwards with, there's always that you're in the shower and you remember something stupid you did when you were 12 or something like that. And you're just burned with embarrassment. Not that kind of stuff, but like, I don't really look back and stress about what I did or didn't do. I'm always looking forward. And that's some kind of rightly or wrongly, I'm sure my therapist would have a field day with it, but rightly or wrongly, looking forward. I think in the advice I would give myself is there's probably two, but we'll narrow it down. So one would be like, don't be too hard on yourself. So my inner critic is awful. Awful person. Right? Brutal. Never good enough. Never good. Like, just awful. And I think I've definitely been too hard on myself. for sure. The other one was or is, you know, everybody should do therapy. Therapy is amazing. I was far too old before I had that revelation or had that experience. So I think advice to my younger self would be, you know, start therapy. And I would probably... Probably around 24.
Okay.
And I think, yeah, I could have done with somebody to help me make sense of some of the stuff I was going through, or just didn't understand or couldn't put into words. I was very impatient at that age.
But it's a difficult age to realistically have any or to expect to have any perspective at. Because I know that legally you're an adult and all of that jazz, but there's an awful lot of childhood residue still clinging to you at 24.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I'd a lot to figure out at that age. But I was doing a lot as well. I was ridiculous overachiever.
Dude, so was I, but I stopped. You carried on.
I don't know, but well, maybe. I was lucky as well because I graduated into an economic boom. So it's like just I got incredibly lucky as well. And I had skills that were in short supply in the middle of an economic boom. And, oh, you can do online marketing. Yeah, that's the new big thing. And da, 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 da. So I caught and rode a phenomenal wave without even realizing it at the time. I just assumed it was normal.
So yeah, I'd probably start therapy, Fintan. You know, that'd be good.
I wonder what you'd be like now if you had. You'd probably be
a fucking gazillionaire, man.
I was going to say, you'd probably be retired, wouldn't you?
Well, I am. But I'm not allowed to say it, and my wife doesn't like when I say that. I'm working on projects.
Yes. Working on projects in your second sabbatical year, which appears to be even busier than your first sabbatical year.
Because 2 weeks off over Christmas, I recharged. Holy shit, we got to go bigger.
And anybody that's able to watch this, would you mind leaning back just a little bit? Fintan is wearing his Investing Insiders. What do you call that? It's like a...
Gilet.
And Investing Insiders is one of his other projects in which he is an important executive.
Yeah.
Where can they look that up, Fintan, if somebody wanted to know that?
That'd be investinginsiders.co.uk.
Wow. And how's that going?
Yeah, it's led by Antonia, who's phenomenal, and the guys are doing a fucking brilliant job. So there's a lot of, they've got a lot of big plans for 2025, and I think they're going to take over. So
the world, or just that
just
part?
The UK is fine. UK is enough. It's a big country. It's very, yeah. I could talk about it for ages, but there's a lot of cool stuff coming. It's a really good team. A lot of energy. They're kicking ass. So it's just fun to watch. It's brilliant.
Okay, super. Well, Fintan Costello, thank you for joining us on this inaugural Desert Island Discs TM.